Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or The Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. I am so excited to talk to you about dating after divorce with a very special guest and a friend of mine that I met prior to COVID, I think.
Yes.
Her name is Michelle Dempsey-Multak. Michelle is just an outstanding human being. A quick note for you guys, besides being my friend, she's a certified divorce and co-parenting specialist, best-selling author of a book called Moms Moving On, Real Life Advice on Conquering Divorce, Co-parenting Through Conflict, and Becoming Your Best Self. And she's, I mean, bestseller, top 1% podcaster. Michelle and I have collaborated on her stuff, on my stuff. So we're here to tell you all of the things about dating after divorce. Michelle, welcome to the Smart Dating Podcast.
Thank you. And thank you for the intro. And I'm now an ex top 1% podcaster, not because I lost my ranking, but because I retired the podcast in the fall after almost six beautiful years, of weekly conversations. And you know what it's like because we're on a podcast now, how much work that is. And girl, something had to give and it was that. But it was beautiful while it lasted.
Oh my gosh. Well, Michelle, let's jump right in. Tell us about you and your life and how you got to where you are now.
How much time do you have, Bella?
7 hours, 49 minutes. No.
Which life? Because I've had so many. Well, I think, how did I get into the industry that I'm in and the work that I do and the name that I made for myself was purely accidental and yet at the same time so intentional, I think, or meant to be. The long and short of it is I got divorced when I was 33. My daughter, Bella, was 2. And there was no real like Instagram support community. There were, you know, I was writing mommy blogs for all sorts of publications at that point. There was nothing out there that spoke to the young mom with the young child who's being forced to start her life over again while everyone around her is still popping out babies and having date nights. So I created the space. I created the space because I had the flexibility with some of the publications I was writing for to shift the nature of my content towards single motherhood. I was posting about it when nobody else was. And really, people started following in droves. And that led me to wanting to help people more. You know, I have a background in education and understanding the needs of children. And I kind of parlayed that into divorce coaching and becoming a co-parenting specialist. And then all of that led into the podcast and the book. And now here we are, all these years later, seven years later.
Well, first of all, amazing. And you're really a gift to people on Instagram. And I love following you. And I'm hopefully now you're going to be back in my algorithm as we talked about. Come on, Meta. I hope you're hearing this and putting us back in each other's algorithms.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's talk about dating after divorce and single moms. I know there's, like you said, you were a young single mom, 33 years old, right? And you are doing this all alone. And yet humans are driven. We're pair bonders. We want love at the end of the day. How did you do it? And how do single moms manage this? Like, you want to date, you want to find a partner again, but you want to protect your kids. Tell us about this.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, first and foremost, for myself personally, my first marriage was never good. It was very short. And I kind of always had this feeling of like, maybe this is just a practice round. Like I haven't gotten a fair attempt yet, or I haven't had the real deal yet. So I kind of always had it in the back of my head that there was going to be something more for me in terms of relationship. And when I did leave my marriage, it was interesting because prior to getting married for the first time, I was the girl who was never alone. Like if it wasn't a boyfriend, there was like someone on speed dial coming over after the bar, you know, like chronically with somebody. There was always a roster. And I was like very clear on the fact that like I didn't want to have booty calls. I didn't want to just be like dating casually. Like I have a 2-year-old. I had the sole majority of like taking care of her at that point. So there was part of me that was like, I want somebody, and I know this isn't like where my story ends love-wise, but I also wasn't going to give up myself or my time with Bella for somebody. So it was a weird place to be. And I think like so many women, it's like, I want my kids to be okay after this divorce, but I also want to be okay after this divorce. And I think one of the things I tell everybody that I work with is that you have to shake this idea that your kids need a family dynamic to be okay. A lot of women, especially, will want to like rush to recreate like the typical, you know, mom, dad, and kids in the house by replacing the ex with somebody new when that is not what the child needs at all. The child needs to feel safely and securely connected to you, which often can feel threatened if you bring someone new into the mix. So that right there, like, should take the pressure off for people. And then it becomes about allowing yourself and your children to ease into your new normal before you can bridge the gap in bringing somebody new into their lives. Can you date quietly and on your own? Sure. But like you have to think about the risk versus the reward there.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of the podcasts, and I think you brought this to my attention back in the day, was kids with regards to we rush to want to recreate this dynamic. Like, okay, kids need two parents, but no, the research shows kids need one really good parent.
I've been
And
saying it for years. One
right.
secure and stable relationship, Harvard research shows. So, you know, this old school, if you're going to believe that kids need a family dynamic to be okay, then you're also going to believe that divorce is bad for the kids, right? So
Correct.
it's shaking that idea that you will erase their pain if you bring a new person into their life. You'll actually make it much harder for them if they are not ready for it.
And let's just talk about the dating side of it. You know, if you're listening to this and post-divorce have younger kids and have kids in general, right? Smart Dating Academy, we work with a population of people that are in their 30s to their 70s. And it's not just a concern about having young kids. What I found after doing this for a longer and longer time is there are adult kids that can have problems with a new partner in their parents' world. It's pretty amazing. I've seen people, children that are in their 50s, of their parents that are in their 70s and 80s and don't want to accept a new partner. So, how do you integrate a new partner into your kids' lives? My advice is when the kids are little, or you just don't want to introduce somebody to your people, you know, give it 6 months. Make sure this person's going to last versus having a revolving door. Like you said, like, who's Michelle bringing home this time? Let's see. There's going to be a revolving door.
Well, that's why it's that there are so many issues with adult children of divorce and their parents dating new people because that lack of concern or care for the child's emotions kind of goes away because they're adults, but it's still an unnatural thing, right? So, like, whereas if you have a 5-year-old, you're going to wait 6 months, you're going to wait a while before you introduce. If you have a 25-year-old, you think, I don't need to wait. Like they're 25. Like they know what's up. They don't. And your kids are still your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michelle, you're a, you know, divorce specialist, you're, you know, part therapist as well. Tell, like, when do people know? When would you advise someone that they're ready to date based on what you've seen in your experience from the clients you've worked with?
So there is being ready to date personally. And feeling like, I mean, I'm not heartbroken over my ex. I am definitely not upset about this divorce. I am ready. But then there is like logistical ready. Like, are you in litigation? Are you in a custody battle? Do you have some very angry ex who is out to make your life miserable? And, you know, you dating somebody again and bringing someone into your child's life is going to make them more hostile. Is it worth it? And so the answer, you know, it's not necessarily about whether you feel ready for love. It's more about is your environment and
your
reality,
situation.
your situation going to be flipped upside down because of it. And I think on a personal note, you're always going to have some fear, you know, like there's a reason why we have butterflies on a first date, divorced or not, because it's anxiety. It's what's going to happen. It's, oh my God, it's, you know, you're never going to 1000% wake up and feel like today's the day I am ready. You know, you have to learn to trust yourself again. And you kind of do that in dating after divorce. You realize that, oh, wow, I'm showing up differently. I'm setting more boundaries. I feel more secure in myself. So I don't know that there's
Sometimes.
sometimes, but when you do go on a date and feel those things, then you definitely are ready. But if you go on a date and you're still sitting there, even after a divorce, like, I hope they like me. I hope they like me. And you're like, watching what you say, and you're not being authentic because you're more concerned about them liking you than you liking them, you're probably not ready to be dating after divorce, and there's still some work to do there.
Yeah, exactly. As my kids say, do you feel like you're like, pick me, pick me?
Right.
Right.
And that's, you know, even the kids are getting it now. Like my daughter's always like, oh, she's such a pick me. Like nobody wants to be a pick me, right?
Totally.
And that's part of it. But I also understand the side of like, I just want to be with someone after all this.
Yeah, I love that. And if the thought of dating makes you excited and you've done your work, okay, you have realized not what drew you to your ex or maybe your exes, and you understand that the human brain is a pattern recognition machine.
I was just going to say that. What are
And
your patterns? You know, people think healing
yeah,
after divorce is when you stop crying over your ex. That's not it at all.
it's
Healing
not it.
after divorce is understanding who was I in that relationship? Why was I like that? What does that look like? How is that similar to other relationships I had been in the past? What was my relationship with my parents like? What did I not get as a kid that I probably could have used more of? That's the healing. That's understanding yourself. It's not whether or not you still cry over the person you divorced.
Yeah, it's so true. And because the divorce statistics bear this out, right? 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce, depending on what stat you read. And then when we try it again, 67% of second marriages end in divorce, 74% of third marriages. So the question is, if you find yourself sitting here listening, going, oh my gosh, do I have a pattern? You probably do. If you haven't sat back and done the work to say, okay, I know the things I missed when I was growing up from one parent, two parents, or maybe it was not your parents' fault, right? Maybe it's just how you came out. Maybe you had a bad relationship track record and you always wanted to be with the quarterback and the bad boy and the whatever it is, right? It's like, okay, what was that? What's inside of me? And more importantly, what am I going to look for now? Obviously, if you need help around that, that is where we come in. And we will help you make sure that
Yes.
you don't get into that mess again. Because we've still had zero divorces in 16 years with people that have wanted to get married again, which is crazy.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I didn't know that.
It's bananas.
But I
Right.
want to talk about the statistics for a second because the numbers sound really scary. You know, second marriage, 60 to 70%. And people want to know why. And they just think it's like, oh, because you know we're rushing into it, and we're not, you know, we're and a lot of people are, and a lot of people aren't
For
healing
sure.
their patterns. But I always say, like, if you have children and you're going into a second marriage, it's like working a construction job with one hand tied behind your back, right? Like you're not going to be able to give 1000% of yourself to the marriage all of the time if you've got children and you've got an ex and you've got other things to worry about. If now you're in a third marriage, you're going into that construction job with both hands tied behind your back because you've got a lot of other stuff to worry about. It's like this, it's like how much are you carrying into it? And whether you like it or not, like there is baggage that is a real thing. And so the only way around the baggage and making it work is if you are so 1000% healed from whatever shit you hadn't healed before, then you can make it work despite the statistics. But all of those factors plus not really having the self-awareness yet will make your marriage crash and burn.
I love that. Now, Michelle, is there something you would tell people to do? Like if they're sitting there going, wait a second, am I a pick me? Am I healed? Am I not healed? Is there Is there any journaling or any exercises that you have people do that can splay it out on paper? Like, who am I and what have I been doing? What's not healed yet?
I think it's first understanding which parts of you do you tend to hide when you're dating somebody? What are your triggers? Like what have been your triggers in the past? Why might those be your triggers?
Say more about
Why?
that. Say more about triggers.
Okay, let's say you have trust issues. Your ex cheated on you and they worked really late nights or worked really late nights, using finger
Yeah,
quote.
in quotes for those of you who aren't watching, he
And
worked.
so now you have trust issues, right? Understandably. And now you're dating somebody new and I don't know, they're a bartender and they're out every night and they're going to be home late. And you may now start to think, or, you may not have worked through what it means to be able to trust somebody again and how, no two people are the same. Like if you're triggered by somebody's lifestyle because it could lead to what you perceive as divorce, then you need to look at that. Or cheating, then you need to look at that. Or you are very triggered when you aren't getting the physical touch or the words of affirmation that you're looking for. You tell your partner some big news and they're like, meh, okay. So like what is it that really gets you like hot under the collar and angry? Like you need to know that and you need to look for the signs of that in the next person that you're dating because we're never not going to be triggered. Like it's impossible. So knowing that about yourself, like now I know myself so well that when I get really annoyed about something, I can say to my husband, like, it's crazy that I know that I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at how I feel because of what this brings up for me, like feeling dismissed or like my thoughts or my ideas have been dismissed or my feelings. That's a huge trigger for me because I have abandonment issues. I know my husband is not trying to abandon me or dismiss me just because I feel a certain way because I have the self-awareness. So you have to understand those parts of yourself.
I love that. It's like this meta cognition and to triggers. What?
My therapist always says it to me. He always says, your self-awareness is your superpower because it is, because I understand myself so well and I don't make my issues someone else's problem.
Correct. It's never, well, I shouldn't say it's never the thing. It's often not the thing that happens. It's how we react to the thing, which is caused about how we think about the thing. So the trigger. To your point now, if you have an ex that cheated on you and you're with a bartender, now you might say there might be real signs that this person is cheating on you, right? There could be inconsistency, there could be lies, there could be these things. But the question is, okay, is it fact-based what's happening, or is this my reaction to what I fear? Could happen. So, Michelle and I are here to tell you that there are legit red flags to think about, to talk about, to potentially get out of. But if this person is saying, I'm not cheating on you, come to the bar, come sit at the bar with me, I want to leave with you. Like, just because I have this job doesn't mean that. Then the question is this a you thing? Or is it a them
Right.
thing with the re
If
legit red flag,
and
right? I
until you
love
figure
what
that
you're
part out,
saying.
you're going to drive
Yes.
yourself crazy and gaslight yourself and make yourself sick over this perceived thing because you haven't yet healed the trust trigger. And so, or the working late trigger, whatever it is that, became the thing in your first marriage. And so, nobody's saying don't date the bartender, but definitely don't date the bartender if your ex was working late and that's when they were cheating on you and you haven't worked on the trust piece in therapy.
Exactly. Then maybe don't date at all and get in to therapy at that
That
point. Like,
too. That too.
really, right? Because this is how people end up in those second divorce statistics, right? It's like you get into something, you're not healed, you accept the red flags again because you think relationships are hard, or this is just what men do, or this is just what women do. And you get into it and you put your head down because you're like, you come from scarcity. You're like, this is better than being alone again. I don't want to be a single mom. And then suddenly, ... 4 years later, you're back in court again. It's like, okay, stop the madness and just say, breathe. I am worthy of taking this time for
And
myself
my
today.
kids are worthy of having all of me right now when their lives have been so rocked, you know? I had a my Bella was two when I got divorced, so she the majority of my date Spencer was the only person I dated. I went on like two dates after my separation, but they didn't go anywhere because the guys were gross. And then I met Spencer, my husband, and he had a daughter. And
On
I
an
was,
app, by the way.
and well, first in person and then found each other on LinkedIn. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then he lived in my mom's building. So like we knew of each other. And then it was like, anyway.
The cutest couple, by the way.
We both had children. We both had daughters. And I was like, I will date you from now until forever, but like it's gotta be after my daughter goes to sleep. Like I'm not gonna like leave her with a babysitter to go on a date. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but she was so young and her life was just starting. And like I couldn't imagine like skipping bedtime to go out with him, especially when we just moved. Her dad's no longer in the house. Like, so it was easier for me to date at the time because she did go to bed at like 6:30, 7 o'clock. And then
Yeah.
I would have my mom come over or somebody. But I just knew, and I know for all parents, you're not getting that time back with your kids. Do you really want to sacrifice the time for yourself? And also the fact that they need you more than ever right now as a reminder that you've still got them, life is still safe. Is it worth that to go and date? I don't know. Like if I were single again now, there's no freaking way I'd be like, peace out, Bella. Mommy's got a
Yeah.
date. I just couldn't do that.
No, and yours was just, I mean, it was meant to be. It was kismet,
Yes.
right? And
Yes.
that's what happened. But no, I think you're 100% right. And if you're feeling that, like, no, I just have to date, I have to do this, I have to do that, there's probably something to
That's a
heal.
fear-based insecurity. Yes, 1,000%, because you don't have to do anything and your life is not going to be made better by somebody in it. It's going to be made more complicated, even in the best of situations.
Correct. And if you're afraid to be alone, that's a big thing. And that's so many people are afraid to be alone. And ultimately, my mom always told me this, Michelle, Belle, you come into this world alone and you die alone. You are
Oi.
complete as you are.
Yes, it's true. It's scary to say that, but
More, right, a little morbid, but my mom Renu is just like that and she calls it like it is.
and I
And
love
so.
that, but it's the truth. And I think what happens after divorce, you may have a few failed relationships when you start dating again, and that's okay. That's probably normal. But you do realize that you are far better off alone than in bad company because you don't have as much energy to expend. You don't have as much brain power because so much of it is going to your kids and survival and all of those things. So like you really finally do learn, like, is it even worth being with somebody if it's not going to be, you know, good, positive, healthy energy? Like probably not.
No, 100%. It's not worth it. And it's not when that's when people get frustrated and they want to give up, right? It's like, oh my God, this is just a waste of time. And the question it really becomes when people tell me that, I'm like, how are you dating if you feel like this is a waste of time? You need a better strategy. Like, who are you accepting into your dating life? How are you evaluating who gets your time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we don't want to give that time away to just anybody, right?
No.
Do the video date, ladies and gentlemen. I've said this a thousand times on this show, and I will say it again, especially for single parents with younger kids or even kids in the house. You like, why hire a sitter for a date that's for potentially the worst 3 hours of your life? Do a
Yeah.
quick FaceTime for 20 to 25 minutes, right? Crazy cannot hide for more than 10 minutes.
I love that. That's so true.
Right?
Yes.
And
Yes.
if someone's bananas, they're either going to miss the FaceTime or they're going to just whatever it's going to be. And you can be like, oh my God, this person is truly bananas, and you can just get off the FaceTime and don't say you're not a match, I'm not attracted to you on that call. Just be like, oh my gosh, my phone's ringing, it's my daughter, I've got to take this, it was so good to meet you, bye.
Bye.
That's it.
Yeah, that's genius, actually.
Yeah. Exactly. I did a call with the guy a couple of days ago who told me that on a FaceTime, a woman just looked at him after a perfectly good conversation for 25 minutes and she's like, "You know, this isn't going to work. There's just no attraction here." I was like, "You don't need to say that to somebody. That's just mean."
I mean, I understand the honesty, but also like a little more tact, maybe.
Right. And you can just say, "Let's be in touch." Right. And then you can say, don't tell someone that straight up where it's a good conversation. Like, I get you want to be honest, but you also want to leave the world in a better place than you found it. Right. So be kind, be nice, and do unto others. Imagine if someone said that to you. You're having a perfectly good conversation, and then they just lop in with this hatchet, like, "You know, I just don't find you attractive."
Or you saying right now, I don't like this podcast. Bye. No, it's not nice.
WTF.
Yeah, it's not nice. It's not nice. But I've always been very impressed by people that could be that direct. I am not that. There's still a people pleaser living inside of me, but it does save, takes away the guesswork, right? Like, did they like me? I don't know.
Right. And to that point, I think that there is this veneration sometimes of honesty, right? Like, I'm just not attracted to you, right? But you have to ask yourself, is that being honest or is that being cruel? There's a better way and a better time to say that. And I think sometimes, because most of us were raised to be kind, nice people, and there is a nicer way to do things, that we're like, oh my God, well, that took a lot of balls to say that. And so I'd much rather be you or me and do this in a nicer way. There's a nicer way to say we're not a good match than I'm not attracted to you. Let's end this call.
And perhaps it's maybe it's like a keyboard warrior. You have the screen between you, so you think you can get away with more than you actually can, and that it hurts less because you're not face to face with, I mean, in person, which maybe, I don't know, that person probably is insecure.
This man was perfectly attractive, was very successful. Like, so the fact that someone just lapped that out, and he was a nice guy, and he was like, God, that hurt my feelings. I didn't need to go out with her either, but who says that? I'm like, someone that I would have red flagged her anyway, probably for 100 other reasons. He's like, probably if you were like a fly on the wall during the Zoom call. I'm like, people that do that, it's like, okay, that's just a little weird. So be your best self. Be kind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Michelle, is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to leave our dear listener with about dating after divorce?
Well, before we started recording, we mentioned like the big mistakes that single moms make when they're dating. And I
Yes.
would say the aside from being the, I hope he likes me, and not being discerning, I would say don't omit important information on the first date that is eventually going to need to come out. Like, don't spend your first date bashing your ex. But if you are in the middle of a custody battle and you do have young children that you have 50% of the time, these are things that probably need to come out in advance. Because if you're not sharing them up front, you're probably scared of what the other person's reaction might be. And that's not being authentic. And you really want to be as authentic as you can in this phase of your life.
I love that. And that
I've
comes
had
back.
people ask me, should I tell him I have kids? I'm like, I mean, how long can you hide them for? Like, of course, that person, that's the
Put it in your
biggest part of your life.
profile.
Right, exactly. So, like, omit nothing that's going to come out later.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That reminds me, I had once had a girl in her late 20s that was a single mom and was so convinced that she was unlovable because she was a single mom and nobody in her family had gotten divorced. And she did not want to talk about having a son who was so adorable and so precious. And she came and she worked with us, and it took a couple of years. And she found someone that not only, and she needed to work on herself and her stories. And so her son eventually entered her online dating profile. Right? Like, I have a 2-year-old that I'm completely obsessed with. I'm like, filter out the ones that don't want that. And that's going to bring in the ones that are like, oh my gosh, I didn't get to have a baby in my life. Or how amazing to get involved in a little boy's life when he's so little and to potentially get to play that role. That's exactly what she got. She got engaged a few months ago to a man who is a great partner to her and her son.
And there are people who can be that. You just can't be afraid to be who you are in this phase of your life as you start dating.
Yes, no more pick me's. Work on that. If you feel like I
Yes.
cannot be alone, are they going to like me? You know, should I say this? Should I say that? Be nice, be kind on the dates. We're not looking for being mean and cruel and punching people in the face, but being yourself and being the best and most authentic version of yourself, that is how you're going to attract the right person to you.
Absolutely. And you deserve that. Your sense of self deserves authenticity. You'll always feel good about yourself if you show up exactly as you are.
Oh, well, Michelle, where can we find more Michelle?
Here in my pajama pants and dress shirt because Zoom. No, I'm just kidding. I am on Instagram at the Michelle Dempsey, and I am as available as you need me. You can reach out. My website is michelledempsey.com. And yeah, that's where I
And
am.
your book, talk
And my
about your
book,
book.
oh my God, I'm sorry. My book, where is she? She's somewhere here on a shelf. My book, Mom's Moving On, came out in March of 2022. It is a step-by-step guide for moms starting the divorce process, especially with younger children, and how to kind of navigate the difficulties of co-parenting, dating after divorce, sex after divorce. Becoming, that baddie you can be after divorce. It's a really comprehensive. Someone once called it every divorcing mom's Bible. And I loved that because it really is like a step by step on how to live your life after divorce. So it's available anywhere books are sold, also on Kindle and Audible.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll put a link to your book in the
Thank
show
you.
notes. Michelle, thank you so much for being on this
Thank you
podcast
so
and
much. It
for
was great
being my
catching up.
friend.
Of
Yeah,
course.
absolutely. So, smart daters, there is life after divorce. There is dating after divorce. And if you have been listening to this podcast, which is now, I think, on year four, and you're ready to take this leap, good Lord, we're here for you. Follow Smart Dating Academy on Instagram. Send us a note. Go to smartdatingacademy.com, sign up for our newsletter, and you'll be next to find love. I promise you, because there is a lid to every pot. Until next week,
Amen.
I see you again. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.